Good morning, everyone. I'm going to jump right in. First of all, don't be alarmed because everybody felt like half the church walked out. George and Chanel have been so gracious in helping us get the children's church started. They're only going to be here for a couple more weeks, and so the teachers who are going to be participating and continuing that work went down there. They're going to be down there for this week and next week. Getting some training, just kind of evaluating and seeing how we can make the best children's church that we possibly can. So that's why, like, everybody got up and left. But it's great to be here, and I want to dig right in and ask a question. How many people in here have ever felt insecure? Yeah. Yeah, I'm great. Great to see the hands, but we ain't need to see the hands. I know that at some point, we've all felt some level of insecurity, be it you feel like you're not in the right place or you feel like you're inadequate, you don't feel like you know enough. And as we were talking about spiritual health, I want us to think about, well, I'll start off with a story. One of the things that my wife, it's amazing how my family always gives me a story the day before, the morning of a sermon. So yesterday, my wife, I'm running into the store. I said, you need me to grab anything? I'm going to Target. She said, I need some shirts. And I said, oh, okay. So, you know, short sleeve, long sleeve. She described me the kind of shirt she needs. I said, okay, I can get them. And I said, so size medium, right? And she kind of looks at me. And she says, well, I was thinking large, but we'll go with what you say, right? And you know, whenever you're talking to your wife, I can't come out and say, is it an extra large or a two? Because then, you know, you're in the doghouse. But see, a lot of times when we think about our own bodies, when we think about who we are before God, sometimes we can feel a little bit insecure. We can feel like we don't measure up. You know, a preacher gets up there and tells you everything you're doing wrong on Sunday, and he's just beating you up. And you can almost feel like, well, who am I before God? As I pray, as I seek the face of the Lord, who am I before God? And if we're not careful, Satan can kind of sneak in there and make us feel like maybe we don't matter or maybe we don't measure up. And so what I want us to all do is really think hard, really dig deep and look at these verses that we're going to be reading today about being secure and who we are in our relationship with God. The title of the sermon is, Does This Bible Make Me Look Fat? Does this Bible make me look fat? Now, self-conscious. Being self-conscious sometimes can be almost like a state of being sometimes, where it feels like every day we just go and we go, and we're just like, man, I just don't feel like I'm measuring up. And you know, it's very easy in society to feel ostracized, especially as a Christian, especially as a person who's willing to take a stand. You're not going to participate in certain things. You're not going to do certain things. You're trying to live this holy life, and you may feel like a bit of an outsider. You may feel like you're getting too old or something's wrong. This lady is wondering about her weight. I want us to read a couple of passages here. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, where it says in verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that we may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. As simple as this may be, you know, we hear them, they're loud, they're singing, the kids are down there having children's church. And even as little kids, I remember when I was a little kid, we would read through Genesis and would talk about creation and how God said, let us make man in our image. And sometimes we forget how special it is that we're made in his image. That is the proof that we matter, that we're made into something special. Do you think about that? Because, you know, life can get to you. You know, you can really struggle. You can go through things and go through challenges and forget that all of us were made in the image of God. Another verse, Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We were all made different, unique. We all have certain special qualities. We all have some shortcomings for sure. We all have these different things. But it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do we ever really think about that? When we pray, when we get on our knees, when we reach out and speak to God and talk to God, do you ever step back and consider how special it is that you were made an individual? Even those people who maybe, I don't know if there's somebody in here who has a twin brother or sister or something, or, you know, it's like even when you see these identical twins, it's like even they are different. Even they are special. There's no two people who are alike. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And see, sometimes when we step back, it's important that with all the trouble, all the frustrations, all the bad things happening, all the challenges that we face, that we remember that we're seeking the face of a God who not only made us like him, but made us in a very special and unique way. Now, even with that, we're still looking for stuff, right? I think of this, you know, I decided to use this frog because he has a heart there, right? And I was thinking of how oftentimes what people are looking for, they think they're looking for love. And love can be this kind of abstract thing. They think that, well, I'm seeking to find love because I need love in my life. I'm reminded, and I started to use this, and I said no. But I'm reminded of those of you who are old enough who used to watch Saturday Night Live. Remember Eddie Murphy? Buckwheat sings the hits, right? Wookin' Pinub and all the wrong paces, right? Some of you guys get that. But the point is that oftentimes people are looking for love, or they claim to be seeking love because they feel like that will make them well, but it's not specific enough. What exactly is it that people are looking for when they're feeling insecure, when they're feeling like they don't measure up? So often people are looking to be validated. They're looking to feel like they belong, that they have a purpose, that they're validated. And as we continue, I want us to read in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 4, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his sons? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We see here that in order for us to feel legitimate, to feel like we actually have a place, that God actually cares about us, that we actually have value, we have to go through discipline. We have to go through those hardships It says, don't resent those things. Don't be angry about those things. Don't be upset about them. Embrace them. I'm reminded of what my coach used to tell me. He said, when I stop yelling at you, that means you're not a part of the game plan. That means you don't matter to me. That means that you're not a factor. But if I'm riding your back, if I'm challenging you, if I'm constantly trying to get you to be perfect, if I'm trying to get you to do better, if I'm trying to get you to dig deeper, it's because I love you. It's because I care about you. We go through, I go through this all the time. I go with my kids, we'll be in the store. And I see kids acting out, throwing stuff, yelling at their parents, or just running around. I don't just grab up everybody's kids. I don't just start, you know, grabbing them saying, straighten up. But I do for mine. Those are mine. They're my responsibility. Oftentimes we look out and we can see people say, they don't even want to be like Christ. They're prospering and they're doing well. They're in all these places and they seem to have no pressures and no struggles. And sometimes we have to step back and remember, kind of like my parents used to tell me, when I wanted to go to that party, they said, look, I don't care what so-and-so is doing, you're not going. I can't do anything about little Charlie's parents, but you're my child. And so the discipline that we get, the hardships that we face, we have to remember that is validation. That is God saying, you're mine. That is God saying, I own you. I take responsibility for you. If we are not his, then why is he investing the time in us? Why is he putting so much effort? Why is he making it so hard? Why is he forcing us to do our chores? Why is he forcing us to eat and finish our plate? God validates us by the discipline that we receive. Going on, we see where oftentimes it can be difficult for us to understand how it is that we can fit, how it is that we matter to God, how is it that he sees us. And when we think about, like, many of you all who've served in the military, you understand what that sacrifice is. You understand what it is to go out there and fight for your country. You're even fighting for people. You even serve for people that you don't know. Whole country full of people. You didn't know their names. I look at this example, this mother right here. This mother, she's willing to walk through all this water and keep her child above it. That's sacrifice. We understand sacrifice in different forms and different ways. And I find this interesting. This is kind of funny. This is Abraham. He's saying, must I sacrifice family for my career? We think about the sacrifices that are made, and sometimes it's important that if we're going to understand who we are before God, if we're going to be encouraged and understand how special we are, we have to step back and remember the sacrifice, similar to what we did when we took the Lord's Supper. We have to step back and think about the sacrifice that was made for us. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The point here is that Christ validated us by going to the cross, by taking our sins, by being willing to be that ultimate sacrifice. He validates us. He says, when you come and you accept me and you allow me in, then I'm with you. We're together. We're a part of one another. You know, the times when we may feel kind of out there and misplaced, it's important that we remember that just like our parents made sacrifices, just like we as parents have made sacrifices for our children, what we see here is that Christ is saying, I am willing to give up the most precious thing, my life, so you can have the opportunity to be with God for eternity. That is sacrifice. That is proof that you care. Because a lot of people can say things, you know, it's like, you know, and I was talking to someone about this earlier this week, how there are ways in which you can validate somebody that you don't necessarily love. You know, I mean, I can validate your parking pass if I work in a parking garage. I can, you know, sign off on your paperwork. We go to the DMV and they certify that your vehicle is, and you know, it's been inspected and it's safe to drive on the road. But that doesn't mean that the person loves you. That doesn't mean that the person cares about you. They're just doing a job, right? There's plenty of ways in which we validate, but show me how you can love someone without there being validation there. How can you say, I love you, but you're not willing to sacrifice for the person? You're not willing to honor the person. You're not willing to care for the person, do things. See, that's the form of validation, the form of love that we're looking for. And I want us to really consider just how special it is that Christ was willing to give his life. Just like we see how special it is that God made us just like him, in being similar to him in how we are created. And even with all of that, all the stuff is done, the question sometimes we have to ask ourselves is, well, this is great, but now, you know, I was sharing this with my wife because she was telling me, she said, sometimes now I feel bad, right? Because God's done all this stuff for me. He has validated me. He has shown me how special I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Christ was willing to go to the cross. And yet sometimes we feel like, well, but what can I do for God, right? This is a lot of fun because Kendall is learning how to write. This was supposed to say William Daddy Craig. That's not to be confused with William my brother Craig, because she has two William Craigs, right? So this is William Daddy Craig. And so these little, she did this on, I believe it was Thursday. And these are all a bunch of smiley faces, rainbow colors. She said, this is how much I love you. Now, nobody's going to mistake this for, you know, some masterpiece, some Van Gogh painting, right? But it's special to me. Sometimes we forget that we're God's children, and there's a way that we can validate him as well. There's a way that we can give back, that we can show God how special he is to us as well, that we can validate him by showing our love to him. I look over in Psalm chapter 103. This will be the last scripture. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He's saying, and I love how in the King James Version, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. See, sometimes we forget that our praise, our worship, that is how we validate that that's our God. That's my daddy. I'm his boy. I'm his little girl. That's how we validate him. And it's not just a matter of, okay, we're just going to, you know, check off things that we do so we pray. Or we're just going to come in here and we're just going to sing some songs. it's special to him. My daughter, like, she's literally done hundreds of those pictures. She's done it hundreds of times, and they're all smiley faces. There was this little stick figure one that she did, and the thing is, every last one of them are special to me. Every last one of those pictures that she wrote, that she drew, was special to me. Just like every time you praise God, every time you honor him, every time you thank him, every time you worship him, every time you get on your knees and you cry out to your Father, every single time it's special. My dad sent some stuff for my son for his birthday, and they got it, and I could almost hear it in my dad's voice how special it was that my son called him on his birthday to say thank you for sending me a present. And the thing is, it's the same. It's reciprocity. It works both ways. It's not just where we're just going to sit here and take everything and we should feel bad because, well, I can't give God back. I can't give back to Jesus what he did for me. You don't have to. Just like Kendall, she didn't have to give me, you know, something back for the shoes that I bought her, or the clothes, or the fact that I go out and buy groceries, or I take care of them and I, you know, buy things for them. That's not how the relationship is supposed to work. I just want to know that my children are happy. I want to know that they're learning. I want to know that they're growing. I want to know that they feel loved. And I want to know how special I am to them every time they sing me a song or they draw me a picture. When's the last time you drew God a picture? When's the last time you drew God a picture with your life? Some of the brothers and some of the other churches, we have a meeting, some of the preachers, we get together, and they were talking about a cappella singing, right? And how, you know, there's the fours and the against, and some people feel like you should be able to have music to accompany. And yet, one of the things he said, and I found this to be so true, he said, God doesn't care how you sound. It doesn't that you have to be in the right perfect pitch. It's the fact that you're singing to him. It's the fact that you're singing with all of your heart. When's the last time you sang to God with all of your heart? When's the last time you cried out and praised your Father? Because you, just because you were his little boy and you were happy, just because you were his little girl and you're grateful to be in his house, grateful to be in his family. So I want to close here with a few questions. Do you identify with being a child of God? Do you view your hard times and the discipline that comes with it as signs of validation? Or do you just look at it as signs of punishment? You know, so often we can feel like, well, my life is hard, my life is challenging, and not realize that some of that's because God wants to protect you. God's trying to produce growth in you. God is trying to keep you from something else. God is showing you the right way. But do we actually view ourselves as children of God? Because that comes first. See, it doesn't make sense when you're being chastised or disciplined unless you understand that that's what your parents are supposed to do. But we have to identify as being that child. Does the sacrifice that Christ made for you on the cross impact you in any daily or regular basis? How does it validate you? How does the cross validate us? You know, you see people walk around all the time with necklaces and they'll have crosses. Even now, people are getting cross tattoos put on them, right? Jesus going to the cross and being willing to take on our sins so that we don't have to, how does that validate us? How does that, on a daily basis, affect the way that you live? Does it affect the way that you live? How often do you bless the Lord with your words, actions, and plans? Do you validate God, or I should say, do you even seek to validate God with your life? Do you validate others by being like Christ? You know, Christ comes and he sacrifices, he gives his life for us, but he lived a life And he showed us an example. Do we just say, well, I'm grateful that you're my Savior? I'm grateful that you were willing to go to the cross for me? Or do we also then go and validate what Jesus did by being like him, by imitating him? Do we seek to bless the Lord? Do we seek to praise the Lord? Do we seek to validate him in other ways, simple ways, ways that may not seem very significant, but they matter? When's the last time, I'll ask you again, when's the last time you drew the Lord a picture just because you were happy? And finally, what areas of your life do you need encouragement? Where are you feeling insecure? Where are you feeling like you're lacking? What is it about your relationship with God that could change if you were willing to be someone who is seeking validation, someone who is wanting to be close to God? How is it that we can, in our regular lives, go from being that insecure Christian, that person who feels inadequate, to being a person who is joyful and faithful and determined to be more like him? How do we get from point A to point B? A lot of it starts with us first identifying not only our own self-worth, not only what it is that God has put into us, not only through other people who have poured into our lives, but also through Christ. But we also have to turn around and validate this life that Christ gives us an opportunity to have, that validates this God who we serve, by living in a way that's worthy, living in a way that's reflective, not scared, not intimidated, not insecure, but full of faith, full of boldness, full of determination that I'm going to be exactly what it is that God wants me to be. Not what he wants the next person to be. Not what he wants somebody on the outside to be. Because guess what? We were all made and we were all made different. So therefore, we have something different to do. You know, the Bible talks about all the different gifts and the abilities that everyone has. Just like both of my children are very different. Just like both of them have different talents and different gifts and different drawbacks and different problems they have to overcome, they're both equally special to me. We are all equally special to God. But do we need encouragement? Do we need to understand we're God's kids? We leave out of these doors today. We walk out there, the sons and daughters of the Creator of the entire universe. The one true living God, not some idol, not something that can't respond, not some idea or some concept, but the one true living God. How can we not be encouraged? How can we not be inspired to want to help others, to want to see others come close to him, to want our brothers and sisters to also be encouraged and come close to him? Do you need to come closer? Do you need the encouragement? Do you need the prayers of the church? Do you need to come and say, hey, I need to be a follower of Christ. I want to be validated. I want to be accepted. I want to be one of God's children. If you're in that position today, come forward, so that we can pray for you, so that we can help you understand what it means to have a life that's holy, the life that's righteous, and a life that's like Christ. If you just need prayers for encouragement because maybe you've been struggling to feel good about who you are and where you are in your relationship with God, we ask that you come forward also as we stand and sing our song.